If you would, open up your copy of God's Word this evening to the book of Proverbs in chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1, last Wednesday night we began a series through the book of Proverbs. We will, the Lord willing, continue to make our journey through. Just as something of a reminder, the first 9 chapters or so we will look at sequentially. That is, we'll look at them in order, sequentially, verse by verse. But then when you get to about chapter 10 in Proverbs, it is what you may term the Proverbs proper. And that is those differing Proverbs that address different life situations, and they're not in a necessarily, and I think you'd have to try really hard to stretch it to say that they're all intended to be tied together under different headings, but there's different proverbs. And so once we get there, we'll transition and look at subjects or topics. But a proverb: do not judge a book by its cover. No pain, no gain. These are just simple proverbs, many others. A stitch in time saves 9. These are just proverbs, and they're little bits of wisdom that are intended to share or relate truth. They're intended to be brief or short so that they're memorable. And that's what the Proverbs are. And these are written by Solomon. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But they are super rich, super helpful, and will, I hope, help us. Well, I have subtitled this series, Wisdom from Above for Life Below. So I'm hopeful that this series will be seen and understood as God's divine wisdom from above that helps us lead quiet, peaceable, successful, enjoyable, God-honoring lives here below. Proverbs 1, verse 1, we're going to read tonight the first seven verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7, and really I think this is the theme of Proverbs: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So let me begin by asking a couple questions. Why study the book of Proverbs? What are we trying to gain? What is the prize at the end? What is the payout? What do we get by turning back to this Old Testament book and systematically working our way through it? And the answer to those questions, I hope, is that we receive life-changing truth. That we receive life-changing, soul-saving truth. What would you think of a nutritionist? Someone who was a doctor of health, who had gone to school, received years of formal training and education, could cite top to bottom everything there is to know about diet and health and nutrition, yet they were 600 pounds, morbidly obese. You couldn't help but to think they may have all that learning, They don't have any of the living. And what Solomon is doing in writing, relating, sharing these Proverbs is giving us information. But not just so we have it in our heads, but so that we live it with our lives. In other words, God's Word altogether, and certainly inclusive of the Proverbs, is not written simply for our information, but for our transformation. And so what Solomon is relating here is information. We need to know. You got to know. You got to have fact. You got to have knowledge, but you got to have more than that. You got to have that wisdom that comes with it that helps you see this is how it plays out. But Solomon doesn't want to just feel the head of his son, the future king, with truth. He wants his son to hear, listen, and obey these truths. And so tonight I want to look at Solomon's own reasons that he lists for the Proverbs. I'm titling tonight's message, The Purpose or Purposes of the Proverbs. The Purposes of the Proverbs. This is why we have them. And just very quick introductory word, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Again, a proverb is an observation. It is a pithy, brief statement intended to relate some truth, whether it is both either a temporal truth or an eternal truth. The Hebrew word itself means a comparison. A comparison, putting something up side by side. And then we see again in verse 1, they were given by Solomon. I'm going to say this ad nauseum, but you need to hear it again and again. One, we can trust these Proverbs because they're part of God's divine, inspired, and errant Word. But from a very practical sense, we can trust the Proverbs because they were given to us by Solomon. And don't forget, when Solomon was asked by God, what is it that you want? Name it, and it is yours. Solomon's answer to Yahweh God was, I want wisdom, an understanding heart, that I may rule your people well. And so these Proverbs, though some of them are given by what is termed to be wise men, other wise men, the majority of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, who I will again maintain was the smartest, wisest man that ever lived short of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have these true statements, these informational, brief statements that are intended to impart wisdom, but it's wisdom for living, wisdom for life, given by Solomon. And they can be trusted. And in verses 2 through 6, we find out why Solomon wrote these Proverbs and what it is that he hopes to accomplish through them. And here's what I want you to think about. When you're reading the Proverbs, whether you're reading chapter 2 or chapter 22, whether you're reading chapter 7 or chapter 27, any of these, Solomon wrote these Proverbs for the reasons that are listed right here in these first few verses. So all of that wisdom, you know, if you've read the Proverbs, some of them will be in your heart and in your mind. You've memorized them. All of these Proverbs were given for this purpose, the purposes that we're going to look at together this evening. The author hopes to impart wisdom that will shape the lives of his readers. Solomon intends to impart wisdom that will shape the lives of his readers. And my points this evening, five of them, 5 points come strictly from the verbs that are used here. Verse 2, to know, to perceive. Verse 3, to receive. Verse 4, to give. Verse 6, to understand. That's my 5 points. This is his why. This is what Solomon is hoping to do. He wants us to know, to perceive, to receive. He wants to give, and he would have us to understand. These are the 5 primary reasons that Solomon has given us the Proverbs. These are the purpose or purposes of the Proverbs, that we would learn and live, that our character, in other words, you impart truth prayerfully hoping, and I'm thinking about in a parental setting right now, you impart truth hoping that it takes root in the heart and mind of that child so that it affects their character, the way they live, the decisions they make, and ultimately affect the outcome of their lives. And that's what Solomon is doing here. Much of it is aimed at people in general, but some of it specifically at his son, his prince son, who will be the leader. And that is, you want to impart truth that others will hear, listen, learn, obey, that will affect their character, their nature, and then the outcome of their lives. First, with me, notice to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 2, this is what Solomon is saying, that we may know. That word could be translated, to know means, could be translated, to become acquainted with. And in fact, that word know, K-N-O-W, is a big, broad word in Hebrew. But it is the same language, though it doesn't carry, obviously, all the same connotations. But Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. In other words, they had a very intimate relationship. That same language is used throughout the Old Testament. In other words, Solomon says, I want you to have an intimate acquaintance with this truth, these truths. I want you to become acquainted, intimately acquainted with these truths that I'm setting out so that they become part of you. As two become one. So that they are just part of you. And it pours out in how you think, how you see life, and then how you live. He wants us to know clearly, to become intimately acquainted with, notice verse 2, wisdom. Wisdom. That you can know wisdom. And again, that's that Hebrew word, or I may remind you, even if you weren't here last week, if you were, just bear with me. There was a lot of information. I know you didn't get it all. But that word wisdom that's used here has with it the idea of skillful living. The word was used, I made mention of those men and women who were specifically gifted in areas of craftsmanship. Like when the construction of the tabernacle and the temple and the engraving of gold and all of that meticulous work that was done, those who were gifted in that way, the exact same Hebrew word was used by the writers to say that they were filled with wisdom, skillfulness. The word was also used of in the Psalms of captains and those who were on seafaring vessels, that they would govern the ship well at sea. that they had skillful knowledge of how to avoid shoals and to understand the way the tide and the winds work. They were very skillful in that way. Solomon says, I want you to be intimately acquainted with skillful living. That's why I'm telling you that you would have practical skill for life. But then again, in verse 2, to know not just wisdom, but instruction. And that word instruction could be understood as discipline, chastisement, to receive warning. I love one definition that one author gave. It is correction, which results in education. Correction, which results in education. You're going the wrong way. Someone tells you the right way, and now you turn around and you're headed. You're going the wrong way. Someone tells you the better way, and now you turn around and you're headed the right way. Solomon says, I want you to know the right way. I want you to be intimately acquainted with the type of correction that results in education. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but there is not one person on the planet, and you who are here tonight, me, you, all of us, we need to understand this is for us. We're not just talking about everyone out there. We're not just talking about our children. This is for us. We need godly wisdom to have instruction, wisdom to shape our daily life for the long-term good. Anybody here got it all figured out, got life all figured out? Go, no, of course you don't. But through a study of the Proverbs, we can learn more. Based on Solomon's vast wisdom and experience, realize, I mean, not only was he blessed with divine wisdom, but he was also, if we flip that and look at the opposite side, Solomon tried everything planet Earth has to offer. Wine and women and music and entertainment and dance and leisure. I mean, he was rich. And there was nothing. In fact, he says in the Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, anything that my eye desired, I tried it. I had it. And he learned by that, both negatively and positively. And then he imparts, both in Ecclesiastes, but certainly also here in Proverbs, he imparts the wisdom that he learned, both what was given to him by God and from the mistakes that he made. So not only to know, but to perceive. In the second half of verse number 2, to perceive the words of understanding. That word there, perceive, carries the idea of to distinguish. To distinguish. To understand truth that provides insight. In other words, let me put it like this. Solomon wants to instill truth that shapes our thinking so we think well. To perceive the words of understanding, that you and I think like God thinks. To think like wisdom thinks. And if there was a significant criticism that I could cast against Americans today, and I include myself in this weakness, is we're just not very good thinkers. We don't think deeply enough. We live in a soundbite society. How many of us sit in front of a television, and now we're not even satisfied with just sitting there and watching a show? We're scrolling on a phone almost the entire time. And we've got all of these distractions. different things vying for our attention, and then we see these little tidbits of information, and across the bottom of the screen on the news, there's constant flow of information. And we've become a soundbite society. And Solomon says, you need to slow down and think well. You need to perceive understanding. You need to see things the way God sees them, not the way this world does. And that means sometimes slowing down so that we can hear truth, identify sound counsel when we hear it, and that we can distinguish between bad counsel, untruths, when we hear them. And Solomon said that this is his goal. This is the purpose of writing. Number three, to receive, out of verse number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That word receive simply means to take in heart and mind. To take in heart and mind. The discipline to act circumspectly. To think intelligently. To receive the instruction of wisdom. That word wisdom there is actually a different Hebrew word than what is written in verse number two, and different than the wordplay that I mentioned of craftsmanship. But here it just means to make or act, to cause to make, to cause to act circumspectly. Very simply, to take to heart the necessary disciplines to lead a skillful life. And then he makes mention, if you would notice with me in verse 3, justice, judgment, equity, moral truths. That's what Solomon is saying. That you could, through knowledge, through wisdom, through careful thought, getting your heart right, your mind right, you would know justice and injustice when you see it. Equity and inequity. You'd recognize it. And you would call it what it is. Wouldn't that be necessary for those who are in authority, for a king, for a judge, that they care about fairness and equality? These are moral truths that are related to godly wisdom that will cause us to act in a way that is right and just and good, but also to recognize injustice and inequity when it's out there. We not only see the wrong, but we also acknowledge, based on wisdom, instruction, understanding, that this is not right. I know that I probably labor this too much, but I want to emphasize this to you. These words, justice, judgment, and equity, those are moral words that have to do with what is good, right, fair. But why does it matter? If we were for just a moment to ask, should the atheist appeal to justice when they are wronged? Think with me. Someone who doesn't believe in God, who doesn't believe in moral absolutes, who doesn't believe that there is absolute right and wrong, do they have any basis on which to appeal to justice? Someone steals from them. Someone harms them. Someone wrongs them. The point that I'm trying to drive home is that without God, there is no foundation. There is no basis for morality. If there is no God to whom we will be held accountable and we lead this life and do whatever we want to do, and once it's over, it's over, Without God, there is no true justice. It doesn't matter whether a verdict is rendered fairly or not. Without God, there is no equity. And what Solomon is saying to us in his writing here is that I want you to think rightly. I want you to see right and wrong, perceive right and wrong. That because there is such a thing as judgment to come. And there is justice and there is equality. And it is imperative that you recognize it and that you see it. But not only that, but that you live it. This is wisdom for living. Not just information, but transformation. And so Solomon is saying, let me make clear to you that honesty matters. Proverbs deals a lot with integrity. Something as simple as it is a scale, which we don't use scales too much anymore. Well, the truth about it is we use it a lot more than what we realize we do. Anybody stopping by gas this, last week, you use the scale. A modern version of it, but you use the scale. Now, do you want to pay for 20 gallons and only get 5? No. And that's just one example of the Proverbs dealing with justice and fairness. But without a basis on which to serve as a foundation, that melts away and floats away into nothingness. So there must be, and Solomon is saying, I'm teaching you these things so you recognize what is right, what is good. But not only that you recognize what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is unjust, but that you would lead a life consistent with honesty and integrity and uprightness. But here would be a good place for us also to recognize we don't always do that. We're not always fair. Proverbs, we're going to learn about when you go buy a car, you want to buy it as cheap as you can buy it. When you turn around and go to sell that car, you want to sell that same car for as much as you can get from it. And that's how we are. That's human nature. And don't just get this idea that it is moralistic theology. This is also Solomon causing us to see we fail in this and we need a redeemer. And that's who Christ is. He's our redeemer. For when we serve self and not serve justice, when we do wrong and we use that word folly, like I mentioned last week, like humor, but that's not what it is. When we sin against God, that we have an avenue of forgiveness. And Solomon is not just saying, son, here's a good way to lead your life. He's also saying, here's a good way to lead your life, but when you don't and you sin against Yahweh God, you must find forgiveness in the Messiah. And that's the lesson for us as well. And Christ suffered the justice of God, the judgment of God, the equity of God, because we don't live that way like we should. Fourthly, I've got to move forward. Fourthly, to give. Out of verse number 4, to give. And the King James here is subtlety to the simple. That's old language. It just simply means prudence. Prudence. To give prudence. Here's a great dictionary from Webster's for prudence. It means caution in deliberating on the most suitable means to accomplish valuable purposes. That's a rich little thought there. Solomon says, I want to give prudence to the simple. Prudence being that you know how to think, to deliberate, to arrive at the most suitable means to accomplish valuable goals, purposes. And that word simple that is there is not a derogatory term we may think of a simpleton or someone who is intellectually challenged or maybe handicapped mentally in some way, but that's not it. Solomon is talking about those who are young, those who are impressionable, those who are naive, untaught, unlearned. Solomon says, one of the reasons why I'm giving you these proverbs is to impart prudence to the impressionable, to help them make good decisions in life. And you could simply follow up that their thinking, their morals, their life direction would be based on godly principles and not the wisdom of the world. He backs it up again here in verse number 4, to the young man, to give to the young man, young person, knowledge and discretion. Young people especially. I've heard this, and I'm not sure I believed it until more recently, but it's clear, right? Young people's minds, their brains are literally developing. And I think even teenagers, their brains still aren't fully developed. I hope that's the case, you know. Their brains are fully developed. They're still learning. They're still growing. And children, teenagers, are very impressionable. Sometimes gullible. They'll believe anything. Solomon says, I want to impart to them knowledge and discretion. I want them to think well. I want them to not believe everything they hear, but to judge it based on the wisdom that has been imparted to them by faithful proverbs, by faithful teachers, by sage counsel. If they have ears to hear. If they're wise enough, and the question is really, are we wise enough to realize we're not all that wise and we need what Solomon has to say? I like what one commentator said. He said, the know-it-all isn't nearly as wise as he thinks he is. All of us have known a know-it-all. But these wise sayings, these Proverbs of Solomon will guide us and guard, especially the young mind. That's why I so encourage young people to read the Proverbs over and over. The young, the gullible, the naive. Listen to this. It will help you read people and situations correctly. There are people that have all kinds of ulterior motives who want to take advantage of you, want to take advantage of young people, who want to mislead them. Proverbs, Solomon says, if you'll listen to what I'm telling you, if you're young, if you're naive, listen to what I'm saying. This wisdom that I afford will keep you from making major mistakes and lead to long-term success. I don't have time to get into this. I put a couple things in my notes. Like, for example, I know in my own life, earlier in my own life, you know, Proverbs talks a lot about friends and finances and those things like that. Things like that. I know in my own life, I remember being pressured to co-sign a loan for somebody. Well, Solomon says that's not a very wise thing to do. Solomon talks about being careful who you run with and who your friends are, because of the influence that they'll have over you and the potential trouble that you may get in. This is just a sprinkling of the wisdom he is trying to impart for those who have ears to hear. And that's still good counsel for grown folk. which will help us not to be taken advantage of, not to be led astray, not to make major life mistakes. But in verse 5, Solomon stops on his list and throws in an interjection here. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now, I don't want you to get too far sideways with this, but I think there's something to be said. He just talked about young people and associated almost always with youth is a arrogant know-it-all attitude. Almost always. I had that. I'm not going to say everyone here had that, but when you're 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that, you think you know everything. Now, none of us would be so boneheaded as to say we know everything, but we sure don't want to listen to anybody. Even people that love us, mean well, have lived on planet Earth a long time and got a lot of wisdom about them, we don't want to listen to them. We know better. And yet sometimes even as grown people, we're that same way. And so Solomon in verse 5 says, you think you're wise? Well, listen, a wise man will hear. And that word hear doesn't just mean it comes into your ears. The actual Hebrew word means with the intent to obey. A wise person will listen, learn, obey, increase in their learning. A person of understanding, someone who has true insight, that's what he's talking about at the close of verse 5, seeks wise counsel. Don't be so bold or arrogant to think you don't need direction. You don't need counsel. Whether you're 17 or 87, we all still need godly counsel. And a wise person is wise enough to know, I don't know it all. I may be able to turn to this person, this proverb, and learn. A wise person is seeking to be wiser still. This is a pursuit. It's not like a goal line out there. Once I get there across the goal line, I'm through learning. No, no, no. Wisdom is a pursuit, a constant life pursuit. Whether young or old, whether simple or gullible, or whether gray-haired or experienced, whether a fool, an unbeliever, no matter who you are, you can be benefited by hearing and heeding the Proverbs. We never outgrow the need for wisdom. This is wisdom from above for life below. Verse 5 is an exhortation. It is an encouragement. It is a plea. A wise person will listen. They'll pay close attention to godly counsel. If you refuse to listen to more mature, serious-minded Christians who seek your well-being, it only goes to show your own pride and immaturity. Do I need to say that again? If we refuse to listen to the Proverbs or wisdom based on God's Word from serious-minded, mature Christians who only want what's best for us, if we refuse to listen to them and are bullish and headstrong and insistent we go our own way, it only shows our own pride and immaturity. No matter who you are, where you are in life, what station you're in, don't be dismissive of godly counsel. But then in verse number 6, he returns to these purpose statements. And I think there's just wisdom in the fact that Solomon stops for a minute and says, I'm talking to all y'all. You think you're wise? Well, here's what a wise person does. They'll listen and learn and grow. And then, fifthly, to understand. Verse 6, to understand a proverb. I want you to understand what I'm writing. I want you to understand not just the words, But what they mean, it's not just enough I can read it, but do you understand what is at heart, which requires thought and meditation often in the Proverbs? His desire is that we would understand the proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, and that just talks about perhaps sarcasm or satire or different life situations that come up. Whatever that it is, Solomon would have us understand that we can think with a sanctified mind and an eternal perspective when we heed godly counsel. The purposes of the Proverbs are to urge young and old, spiritually mature and immature, to grow in their ability to lead a skillful, God-honoring life. Turn over just real quick to chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. Listen to this. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. You want to walk in the way of life? That's the way of wisdom. Only a fool despises knowledge. Solomon says his goal is to provoke thought. Thought before action, that we would hear and heed his godly counsel. The mission statement, if you will, the reason he wrote this book is to both fill our heads with information, but to lead towards lifelong transformation. The reason Solomon wrote this is to shape our character, our thinking. Proverbs is more than just interesting observations, but life-changing, life-enriching lessons. Wisdom leads to life. Foolishness leads to death. And here Solomon says, I'm putting it out here. I can't make you learn, but I can put it out here and pray that you learn. Here is godly counsel for life. Will you listen? A wise person will. Will you obey? A wise person would. Will you receive discipline? Will you receive correction? A wise person would. Either we lead lives that are seeking after godly approval and wisdom in the fear of God, or we lead lives to serve self. That's it. I'm not going to get to verse 7. And we're going to have to probably give that some special significant thought all on its own. But I want you to think about one thing before we close. Christians are subjects of King Jesus. Solomon is king. He is telling his subjects, here's how you ought to live. Jesus is king. He is telling his subjects, here's how you ought to live. What we find in the Proverbs is kingdom life. It's loving your neighbor as yourself. It's doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's going the second mile. Here in the Proverbs, we are taught how citizens of Christ's kingdom should live. Holy, righteous, just, fair lives of honesty and integrity. Just like he did. And then an awareness that when we don't, we still need our King, because our King is the one who condescended, lived that perfect life that we didn't, and died for our sins when we fail. We ought to hear the wisdom of King Jesus and realize we're not just reading the wisdom of Solomon, but the wisdom of Solomon's King, King Jesus. We ought to hear and heed God's counsel, His wisdom, as how to lead a life that will honor Christ and will bear out His wisdom in our life. Don't forget, Jesus is wisdom personified. Jesus is wisdom personified. So if I live like Jesus, I will live a wise life. And I don't always, and you don't, but when we don't, we can find forgiveness in Christ.